Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Another wonderful episode. Here we are on a great Tuesday. We have Adam with us, of course. How are you doing today, Adam?
Hello. I'm doing pretty good today.
Good, 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 good. We love the energy. So we do have a couple of things to talk about today. Some Adam brought, most of it Adam brought, actually, this week. I think all of it's from you, for the most part. But what should we start on?
I don't care. You pick. Shoot.
Well, I did enjoy the Warren Buffett conversation we had, so I think that'd be fun to chat for a quick second here, just to kind of cover that. I'll let you kind of kick it off, though.
Well, Warren Buffett made headlines this week when he said that he wouldn't pay $25 for the entirety of all of the Bitcoins. And I guess I watched, because I enjoy watching Warren Buffett's stockholder meetings, like his old ones on YouTube and stuff. So I'll watch him and Munger talk to the stockholders. So I watched that one. And basically the way in his mind he put it is, he gave an example. He's like, if I get 1% of all the apartment buildings in the United States, like if I get the yield of 1% of all the apartment buildings in the United States, I would take that no problem. I'd write a check, $25 billion, and we could make that happen. If I could, I forget the other one he did. One was apartment buildings, and then he said something else. But then he said, yeah, give me all of the Bitcoin and I wouldn't pay $25 for it, because what would I do with it? If I had all the Bitcoin, who am I going to sell the Bitcoin to? And I guess in a way of thinking, that kind of makes sense. I mean, because he's thinking of Bitcoin as like gold. If you hold all the gold, what are you going to do with it? Nobody wants any gold.
He's doing something actually incredibly, for anyone who's listening, this is actually a huge economic point. Hoarding wealth is very bad for economies. So he has a point. If he bought all the Bitcoin, who would he sell it to? No one, because he'd want to hoard it. Problem with hoarding any amount of wealth, no matter what it is it takes the money out of the economy, which would hurt it. That's a very bad talking point from him, in my mind. And again, he's definitely a better economist than I would ever be, but I do know the basics of economy is hoarding is very, 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 very bad.
Yeah, I don't know if he was trying to make that point exactly, but it was kind of weird. But he said, like, you know, I could, and he had a $20 bill with him too, and he's like, this is cash, you know, this is cash, why do we need to do anything different than this? This is everywhere already. Everybody wants to use this. It's already here. It's called cash. And he said, I could make a Warren Buffett coin, I guess, or do anything like that and make a currency, but I just don't see any use in it. And I think the point he is missing is that with Bitcoin in particular, like, it's a foundation where things can get built on top of it. Like, he's totally ignoring the fact that it's an infrastructure for development down the line. Like, yeah, it's really early and we don't see all the uses in it, but like, there's already layer two solutions on Bitcoin, and like, there's layer three and layer four stuff with like Webull, for example. You can buy Bitcoin, but you don't really have Bitcoin. You have like a weird security thing. You can buy like Bitcoin on Cash App or PayPal, but you don't get the Bitcoin. So there's like, there's all this stuff being built on top of Bitcoin, and I think he's just totally overlooking that part.
I would agree. That kind of goes with what I said, though, is he doesn't understand the technology behind it. And I don't fault him for that. He's 96 or something like that. Like, the dude, he's so unbelievably out of touch with technology these days, unless he's the only geriatric old man on this planet who follows technology, which I highly doubt that. That I don't... Like, if Warren Buffett said anything about stocks, I would agree with it. The man's... He's obviously a very intelligent man when it comes to finances. But if he talks about technology in any capacity, I personally don't think I'd be able to take it with a grain of salt, because he's out of touch. I doubt that man even knows how to use Google the correct way. You know? Like, it's... my own parents, who are 55, 60, I think now. I'm not quite sure, to be honest. They're somewhere around there. They don't even know how to use their email appropriately. And, like, this is something they use every day. So, I don't know. I agree with you. I don't think he understands what Bitcoin even is. I don't think he understands the technology behind it or where it could even go. He has kind of like, and this sounds kind of rude because I don't want to sound rude in that respect, it has that like boomer mindset. Like, he wants something tangible and whatnot. And a lot of like,
yeah, like hell, a can of Coke.
Yes. And like, even cash these days isn't even that tangible. Like, my debit card, It's not real cash. It's just transferring a number from a computer to a computer, you know? Credit card.
Ironically, which is what Bitcoin is.
Yes. And it's like he wants to have this tangible thing, but the world's moving away from that, you know? Like, there's... And it might take time, don't get me wrong. Like, it's going to take time. And I'm not saying Bitcoin will become, like, the new currency or anything like that of any nature. But, like, that's just the way it's going to go. Technology is going to continue to evolve, as will currency, as will everything. Stocks will evolve, everything. It just changes over time. And this is a guy who's been on this planet for, like, 9 generations? Like, or not 9 generations, I'm sorry, 9 decades? Like, I don't really think his brain is where technology is these days. And if it is, again, I sincerely think he'll be the only person in his age bracket who is, like, that. I don't even think the Queen of England understands technology very well, and she's older than he is. But, you know, again, I'm not trying to say anything bad about Warren Buffett, because the man's obviously very intelligent and he's extremely wealthy. You know, like, I'm sure he knows everything there's to know about stocks, because stocks themselves haven't changed in forever, but even they're going to have to. Because I keep seeing something really unique. It just kind of ties in something I saw earlier, is how utterly messed up the stock market is right now compared to where... Because the stock market used to reflect on a company, right? It used to reflect profits from a company, how a company's doing. But now we can take a company like Tesla, which has, what is it, a 54 or one... What is it here? I want to say it's like a one... I think it was like $1.8 trillion or something. And all of the other auto companies combined have a market cap of like $0.95 billion. It's smaller than it. And it's a... Obviously, when you're talking numbers, it's huge. That's a huge amount of cash, no matter what. But Tesla's profit sales is millions upon millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars less than all of these companies. Like, Tesla itself is truly not worth that much money. Which, like, the stock market doesn't even know what it's doing anymore. And there is... that's the same in the crypto market, too. Like, there are coins, like... What's one we... Like, CoffeeZilla, the one he covered, Solana, was that it? Like, that had a trillions of dollars of market cap, but it didn't make any sense.
It was SafeMoon.
SafeMoon. Okay, thank you. I apologize there.
Solana's a big name one right now, but...
Okay. Whoopsie doozy. I didn't mean to throw any, like, shade or anything. I mixed up my terms for that. I apologize. But, you know, it's the same thing like that. Like, economy's weird.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And especially, I mean, it has to do with a lot of quantitative easing and a lot of the liquidity that is on the market. And where are you going to put all that liquidity? I mean, we're going to put it in tech stocks. And it has been a popularity contest. And, I mean... meme coins, that's a popularity contest as much as it is a pump and dump, which doesn't happen on the stock market as much, which is nice.
True. But, very true.
But yes, I do think that all these hens are going to come home to roost eventually, and that's when I want to buy some stuff. But have you ever heard of Lex Fridman?
I have heard the name in some videos I've watched on YouTube, but I'm not familiar with the person.
But he does podcasts, like long form, like 3 to 4 hour long podcasts with heavy thinkers. Like he'll do it with Elon Musk. Today he did it a while ago, but I listened to it today while I was working with Michael Saylor, who's just a really smart dude, and he's a big Bitcoin proponent, like an aerospace engineer, PhD type dude, and he's just a really deep thinker, and I really enjoyed listening to his podcast today. But the way he put it is he made an analogy. He's like, think about like where New York City is built and the huge skyscrapers and stuff like that. And before you build these buildings, we need to be very certain that the foundation and the bedrock isn't going to like sink. You know, 1 inch sinking over 50 years is probably bad. 1 foot sinking is probably catastrophic. That needs to be permanent. And he was making an analogy with Bitcoin about how Bitcoin's foundation has the best chance of being permanent for infinity. Like, as long as it doesn't get hacked, you know. And that stuff is kind of fantasy, thinking about supercomputers breaking Bitcoin, but just the way that Bitcoin was created, like created by an anonymous person who didn't mine before the thing started. He isn't holding a bunch of stuff off to the side. It all grew organically, and it grew, you know, through the risky parts where we didn't know if it was going to hold its value and all this stuff. Like, it's kind of stood the test of time, and at this point, you know, it's a lot more expensive because it seems like it's a lot safer investment. And in his mind, it just made a lot of sense he was saying it, because Bitcoin has just a solid foundation, a permanent foundation, basically. And once the layer two stuff is built on Bitcoin and you can do, you know, 20,000 transactions a day, then it's going to be a game changer. It's going to be a big paradox, or a big paradigm shift, not a paradox.
It'll be exciting, and that is coming. It's probably going to happen in our lifetime. Might not be for a while yet. But
it's not far off the road. I mean, other cryptos are going to do it before Bitcoin. It's just, who's going to be around the longest?
It's a lot like, I think I kind of said this the other day, too. It's a lot like the dot-com bubble. It's a lot of like, you know, there's all these companies that were there, and it really just came down to who's going to make it through all the muck, you know, who's going to stick around and have a tangible use for it, which will be exciting to see. And maybe then, if Warren Buffett, which, I mean, he's a very old man, so it's possible, but obviously we wouldn't
want any details to happen. I don't think ever going to believe in Bitcoin. I was actually watching Matt Kors today. It was really funny. He was doing, must have been a slow stock day or something, but he put a video together of him reacting to funny TikToks. And a guy walked up to a couple chicks, and they're like, a couple women, sorry. And he's like, would you take $100 or a Bitcoin? Both of them are like, Bitcoin's a total scam. Like, fuck Bitcoin. I want $100, you know? And he's like, Bitcoin's worth $40,000 right now. And she's like, yeah, but that's like fake $40,000. And I could have $100 right now, you know?
That really goes to show some people knowledge on the topic. Because for anyone who is listening, you might wonder, if someone offers you a Bitcoin, you very well can sell that Bitcoin for $40,000 incredibly quickly, I might add. So,
like, just a second, can you teach me how to set up a wallet, please? I'll take that Bitcoin.
Yeah, what app do you need me to use it on? Like, let's get this going. But that was actually, that's a really fun thing to talk about, though. And it's kind of cool, I think, something that's really important, is to see people like Mr. Buffett, you know, who's been in the economy, like, forever. Like, I mean, I think he was born when the stock market was created. I don't know. The dude's ancient. Like, the dude's been around forever. So it's interesting to get their perspective on Bitcoin, on these technologies, because it's just like, it goes to show how much the world changes. You know, like, we all know stuff like this is going to be around. It's going to become a thing. Web3 is like the next big, one of the next big, big technological things. I don't think people like Mr. Buffett truly understand that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, just the evolution of the internet. I mean, I was talking with my mom about Bitcoin the other day, and she's like, isn't Bitcoin like banned or illegal? And I'm like, no. I was like, maybe they try to do that at some point, and there was an opportunity for them to make it illegal, but they decided to tax it instead. And Bitcoin is a lot like the internet. You know, you can't stop it.
It's very true. You can't. It's an unstoppable force now. Crypto in general, it really is. I'm really excited to see where Bitcoin and crypto and everything just goes to, because it's like, heck, even from a decade ago, it's in a completely different spot than where it started. You know, we got a lot of rug pulls, unfortunately. We got a lot of really funny meme coins that people use in communities. We've gotten awesome stuff like Decentraland. We've gotten, obviously, the blockchain just in general. The fact that people like CoffeeZilla can make an entire career about exposing people on the blockchain, like, that's so huge. Like, people that were pulling these scams before, which they were being pulled before, they were just doing it differently. I mean, look up any 90s get-rich-quick video ever. There's thousands of them on the TV. Like, he gets to, like, bring these people to justice, and they can't hide behind anything. They can't hide their assets. It's all on a blockchain. It's all traceable, which is really cool. I think that brings a lot more to financial security, like, going forward, because that way you can actually know where the money's been, where it's coming from, what it's been used for. Like, there's, I don't know. I have a lot of faith in projects like this for that.
I agree. Crypto's going to expose blockchain technology, I guess, is going to expose a lot of stuff. But on the other side of the coin, I'm also worried about how gatekeepy it's going to be.
That I do agree with, and that was something that we kind of chatted about. I believe we talked about that last time, or no, we were talking about that after the podcast last time, and that you had a very good point on that, unlike people who are already here. And I think we should always be accepting of new people coming in, regardless of when they get a chance to join.
Booyah.
Now, on for another great fun topic, Adam let me know the other day that a new video came out for The Backrooms, which I watched, and it was actually really enjoyable. I think I like this one the most compared to the other two I've watched so far. What were your thoughts on it?
Kane Pixels is very good at making Backrooms videos. I learned that he does all of his stuff in Blender after watching his last video. I thought that maybe he had did a ton of it in Blender and had some green screen up or something, but no, he does the whole thing in Blender. And I guess the reason it looks so good is because there's like this big phenomenon right now in like horror and scary videos on YouTube about VHS filters. Like, every game I watch somebody play, or like Jacksepticeye or Markiplier or PewDiePie play, there's always a VHS filter on the scary games that they play. So it's just like a perfect storm. So, because you can take the Blender footage, throw some VHS filters over it, and it looks really real.
It did. Like, this video looked, I thought he was using like a prop or a set with some of it. Some of it you can tell it's kind of like, oh, but a lot of it looks like it was like a genuine like set, which was kind of cool.
It's all Blender with VHS filters. But this one, I mean, the last one he did was like, it had like some conclusion to it. And yeah, it had some anxiety in there, but not as much as this one.
Oh, God.
I guess when I came to this video, I already knew that Kane Pixels make really good Backrooms videos. So I was already kind of creeped out just starting it. And some of the rooms that they walked through, like that one in particular that he fell into the hole, I was on edge the whole time. I don't know if you noticed this, but right at the beginning when they're walking, when he was walking through the door, there was a worker in there. And before he walked through the door, the guy was moving in slow motion a little bit. And then when he was in the room, he was back to moving in regular, like regular speed.
I did not notice that.
So it's just like a lot of little things that he puts in there. Like the humming of the fluorescent lights. He's really good at sound mixing. And then... The movie kind of leaves you on a cliffhanger, so it's just really good. You should check it out.
What did you think of it? I really enjoyed it. You encapsulated my thoughts very well. I think this is like the acting I enjoyed. If I was looking at it from that standpoint, I'm a big fan of SCP, which I know we've kind of talked about that in the past, but I got really heavy, like, SCP vibes from this, watching these guys go in, the way they were talking, what happened when he fell down the hole, like, how he reacted to that. I was like, oh my goodness. Like, that was good. It was very anxiety-inducing. The sound design, like you said, it's impeccable. He does a very, very good job at it. Honestly, it's only, like, 10 minutes long, I think. I think everyone should go... If you can handle anxiety-inducing things, you should go watch this video, because it's genuinely fun to watch, and it's really cool to see it from a creative aspect. Like, if you can think about how he was making this, it's really cool.
Yep. Muda from Ordinary Gamers is on a Liminal Spaces Backrooms kick, and I'm excited to see his reaction to this video, but... the reason I bring him up is because, yeah, you're right. The Backrooms is turning into an SCP thing. And recently he had a video, and I already knew about all this stuff, but you know it's getting big when Mood is talking about it. And there's a Backrooms video, or a Backrooms website, where like all there are like 1,000 floors where people are trying to write the floors and stuff. So,
That's actually really cool.
An SCP for sure. Yeah, I mean, there's hundreds of floors already. Maybe a handful, 20 to 30 that are written really well. But yeah, there's hundreds of floors being written. Just like SCP, it's the same thing. But instead, you have to write about what that particular level of the Backrooms is like. So that's what you were seeing in this video of Kane Pixels. Like, I'm not sure what level it was, but he found a different level of the Backrooms.
And it's one that I personally would never want to go to.
What do you mean? The houses look nice. I mean,
it's what's there, you know. It's what's there. But that actually gave me an idea I'm going to talk to you about after the podcast here. So, everyone, is there anything else, Adam, you'd like to chat about today?
There's only one other thing where I was going to talk about it last podcast, but... We were just going to talk about the board games I was looking at, trying to find some inspiration for a game maker game. And the couple that I came up were that I thought that maybe I could turn into a game was one called It From the Pit and Tornado Rex. And there was another one called Freddy Cats.
And did you decide on any of those?
No, I think I've decided that I'm going to, before I try to make any, like, games, multiplayer games, I want to see what the next multiplayer update is going to be like.
That makes sense.
I think I have a pretty good foundational start in Game Maker, and I just kind of want to see what kind of stuff is going to come into it. I'm also interested because they want to do some scripting. They want to introduce scripting and stuff, so...
Ooh, that would be really nice.
I also
want
to know what language you're going to be able to use in Game Maker so I can start trying to learn it. But
interesting. That would be really cool. Little did you know, I actually have a very, very limited knowledge in scripting in like two different languages.
What language?
I know some HTML and I know a very small amount of C++.
Well, there you go. It won't be either of those.
Probably not. Those are both more like business.
Yeah, it'll be like, I guess I have no idea. Python or like JavaScript or like, I don't know what Game Maker uses.
It'll be exciting to see though, because if they include scripting, that's going to open up what you'll be able to do like tenfold. It'll be incredible. That would be really cool.
You could just make a random number generator. You wouldn't have to.
That's really cool.
You wouldn't have to rig up a bunch of number pads to move at different speeds.
Hey, it works. You gotta work with what works, you know? So, everyone, we got big news coming in the future. We'll keep you guys posted, obviously. We'll be talking to you again soon here. Thank you so much for listening. This was a little bit longer of an episode, so I hope you all got to enjoy it. Rock out and have a great day. Adam, thank you for joining.